this particular property, and therefore you don't want to sell it out to the public at wholesale and then have to go around and buy new furniture at retail. Now, this is a simple, clean, non-hostility promoting way of untangling your complicated affairs and putting yourself in a much more realistic position. This can take into consideration debts that are owed on any of the furniture by simply bidding on the equity involved so that the person who acquires the furniture acquires the debt that goes with it and knows it. I think getting your house in order means liquidating your debts just as fast as you can and not getting involved in others, because it's hard to be flexible when you owe anybody money. You're in the position then of having to make a certain amount of money every month just to pay your debts before you can even make positive decisions, which would be, what do I want this month to increase my happiness over what I had last month? If it's a business partnership involved, then you can make arrangements to liquidate by this Wilmot Hunter plan and then make contracts with each of the other individuals to perform specific services. You should never be in the position where you say, well, we'll both work real hard and then we'll split up all the profits 50-50. That is totally unrealistic, because neither person is going to work hard enough by the other person's standards. And what, work hard at what? Each person should have a specific contract, a specific job that he is contracted for. And he is contracted with the other person to do this. One and only one man should be the entrepreneur, taking the ultimate risk. He can then contract with the other man for any service that is needed and that, other man has to offer, whether that be capital, ideas, labor, whatever. And of course, we've already covered the importance of making household contracts. And if you think this is an awfully cold, analytical, unloving way of doing things, remember how unloving are the problems that so easily develop out of the orthodox systems, and how unloving are the grudges one person can hold against another one for not doing his share of what is necessary to make the marriage work or the household work and so forth. Well, once you no longer have shares, but you have functions that each person has to perform or face the consequences, therefore, for not doing so, you don't have those little grudges anymore, either in business or in your home life. Once you have your house in order, you'll find that it is three times as easy, at least, to operate as the conventional method, simply because no one is concerned anymore with irrelevancies. But the most important thing is to act, to move to improve your existence, to quit saying it's always been this way, you can't expect perfection, and things of that sort. You may be able to see some of the benefits of getting out of an irrational situation from where you sit on the inside of it, but you'll never really know all of the good things that can be yours until you get on the other side of the curtain, until you get in the right position, and then 90% of the benefits you'll ultimately realize will be obvious to you because you couldn't even see them from where you sat before. And other people are going to see you a lot better once you get out of the situation that you know is wrong. Even if you can't be sure what is awaiting you on the other side of that curtain, if the present situation is wrong, is there really any point in continuing it? Is that all your life is worth, is to go on from day to day for the rest of your life trying to preserve the status quo instead of ever being in the position of making a positive decision of saying, what do I want to improve my happiness? Well, then from where does one get the courage to act, to do what is necessary to get what he wants in life? Of course, from only one place. From the knowledge that you have thought it out for yourself and that you know what is involved and that you prefer the consequences of acting to those of not acting. When you have really seen the contrast in your own mind, courage is no longer an elusive commodity. If you have to walk into a mob to get to safety on the other side of the street, you will do so only when you are convinced that the consequences of standing where you are now is too dangerous to you. Until then, all of the courage in the world would be meaningless to you, unless you just happen to be mentally unbalanced. Because in any rational situation, courage is nothing more than the ability to perceive consequences, to recognize the value of acting. It doesn't mean that you know specifically what each individual in the world is going to do at any given moment as a part of the consequences of the act, but rather that you know the general consequences that will inevitably follow each course of action. Just as mentioned earlier with regard to stealing, you don't know in what specific way an act of theft on your part is going to react unfavorably upon you, but you know that in some way it will. If you really know it, you won't be lacking the courage to resist the temptation. You'd be scared to death to give in to the temptation.